Hello, and welcome back to the Double Take podcast with Jess and Jenny, where we give our takes on all things TV. Today is a March preview, so we will be going over all of the TV shows coming out in March. Even though we're a few days into March, we'll cover everything from March 1st to March 31st. But before we jump into that, how are you, Jenny? What have you been watching?
I am well. Thank you, Jess. To be honest, haven't watched any of the new stuff coming out in March yet because obviously the bulk of it comes out later. There's been nothing since our last, like since Thursday, TV-wise, that I've been super stoked about watching. But I did catch up on Bottoms, the movie, which I told you a little bit about that I was watching. And there are a few other, like I started Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but have not gotten far. I've been using the last 5 days as a little bit of a catch up.
I like how you say I caught up on Bottoms as if that movie didn't come out 18 months ago.
I caught up.
You got a lot of movies to catch up on.
I know.
Just in general, but especially if that is your most recent catch up. Well, what like spurred you to watch that one specifically out of all of the movies you could have watched?
I went to Prime Video and was going to watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith because Carter and I had just gotten home from like a semi-long drive over the weekend. And so we were eating dinner and we were like, oh, let's watch something together. Let's kind of like decompose on the couch. And we were going to watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith because he loves Donald Glover and I hadn't seen it yet. And Bottoms was like the first recommended thing on there. And I was like, oh, I also haven't seen this. Our friend Jared is really into movies and months and months ago had told us like, hey, you should watch Bottoms. It's kind of good. It's kind of super baddie. And so then we decided on that instead. And that is how.
Thoughts?
It came to be. I liked it. I had no, I don't know how I do this with most movies. The premise, anything about it just like misses me. I'm like, oh, Io is in there, like her. The girl from Shiva Baby, like her. Like they all looked, it looked fun. I thought it was going to be Booksmart-ish from the trailers. So like the type of comedy that it was had completely evaded me. So I was surprised. I texted you when it first started and I was like, oh, this is giving kind of like She's the Man vibes. Like it's a little over the top. It's not realistic in many ways and I'm digging it. And then it took a turn and I was like, oh, it's not like that anymore. It's a lot more like Heathers and yeah, like super bad, but I enjoyed it a lot. Despite being a little bit surprised and like, wait, oh, hold on. I just had to like let go of my expectations.
That's so funny because I had like the opposite problem with it, which is that I feel like it was really hyped up and I saw it a while ago, but it was really hyped up as like crazy, like so out of the box, so over the top. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, that was like kind of tame actually, but like my expectations were, oh, this was gonna be like so like raunchy and funny in a way that you like haven't seen before. And I was like, it was like a gender swapped teen comedy with like some sort of more out of the
intense
box
parts.
Sort of stuff, or like, yeah, intense or goofy or whatever.
Yeah,
but I liked it. I just think I was like a little disappointed because of that.
Yeah, really, expectations are everything.
They are everything. If you have no other catch-up items, was there something else? I feel like there was something else. I was like, I don't want to text you back. I'll just talk about it. Was that just Bottoms?
I think it was just Bottoms. I think because I said, oh, it's actually a little more Heathers-y. I had started amending my statements and like talking a lot more in detail about what I thought about it. And you were like, stop.
Yeah.
Shut up.
You texted me, how was Damsel? That was the other thing where I was like,
oh.
I can't text you this. We got to talk about it.
That was a question about both movie and event. It wasn't just like, tell me everything about the movie.
I see. Okay, that does make more sense. And so, well, this podcast comes out Wednesday and the movie Damsel comes out Friday. So I'm pretty sure I can talk about it. But just really briefly, I'll say it was not as good as I wanted it to be. And generally just like not great. But like decent entertainment. So I think
Did you expect it to be really good?
No, I wasn't expecting it to be great. I was expecting a little bit more though.
Okay.
I think just because Robin Wright and Angela Bassett are in it, I knew that going into it. And I was like, wow, amazing talent, great catches. They're in it for like a combined less than 10 minutes. And I still appreciate their being there, but I wouldn't say it elevated the movie. Or it did, but just not that much because they're barely in it. And then there, I'll talk more about it, or maybe I'll include a review in this week's newsletter. But there's some things about it that I thought were particularly not as well done as I think like the movie thought it was. And I'm not talking about like, the CGI. Okay. I'm talking about like the message of the movie. So yeah. It was kind of a bummer, but still fun. I'm kind of glad I got to watch it in a theater, actually. And like, nobody else will because it's going to go on Netflix. But it was visually like impressive. I mean, I don't think they had like the biggest budget, but this is in the trailer. This doesn't give anything away. But like the dragon looks pretty cool. So I was like, okay, that's like a fun thing to watch in the theater.
Nice. All right.
And that is all.
I guess we... Then, yeah, we can move on into March.
All right. So we should... Okay, so for the people who have not joined us, for our listeners who haven't joined us for our January and February previews, the way that we've been doing these is basically reading a log line to each other and deciding if it is a show that we would want to watch. I tend to know all the shows that are coming out, including what they're about. Jenny, less so. That's my intro to the listeners. Do you have anything to add before we jump in?
No. No, should be fun. I am definitely the one who knows the least this time around, as per usual, but I'm excited. I've got a few nuggets that I'm like very excited about, and so I'll wait until you mention those, and then I'll be like, these are the ones. Otherwise, go for it.
Okay, I look forward to guessing what those are. I think I already know. Okay, probably. We're going to start with a couple of shows on the list have already come out. And the first one is The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin. And this is an Apple TV show. Have you heard of it?
Yes. I have heard of it. And you mentioned it maybe a week ago to me. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I realized I did not know the name of it. And I only had heard about like some elements. And you, I think when I said that, you were like, this kind of seems like a you kind of show more than a me kind of show. And I still don't know that much about it, but I will watch it.
I do feel like it's a you show. It, I mean, the premise doesn't tell you like that much. It's a comedy. They're calling it a British historical comedy, but it's a fictional take on the life of highway robber Dick Turpin, who is not that's not a name I'd heard before, but if you Google it, it's like just the kind of name that ends up with like a legacy that's like probably mythology, but was a real person. So like what actually was the deal with the real person? Who knows? His story has become very fictionalized. And that is the premise of the show. It stars Noel Fielding. He kind of gives me the ick. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
I don't know. Do you like him?
I do. I could, in certain contexts, I could see that. I'm curious to see what it's like in this one. I really like him when he's being the closest to himself, which it doesn't really sound like he will be in this.
Yeah, probably not. It does sort of give like Monty Python vibes. I think that's why I thought you'd like it. And I say that having not watched any of it, just the trailer. But it does seem like that type of humor. So... I think you should give it a chance based on the premise.
I probably will. I definitely will.
Okay. Another show that has already premiered, The Regime, came out last night on HBO. It's an interesting choice for the coveted Sunday night HBO slot. Not that they had other options fighting with it. I watched the first episode, but I'll tell you what it's about. It is a dark comedy starring Kate Winslet that tells the story of life within the walls of a modern authoritarian regime as it unravels. It is from Succession and The Menu writer Will Tracy. I don't think Will Tracy wrote, I think he wrote for Succession a few times, but he wrote The Menu, which is a dark comedy movie that I liked quite a bit. So have you heard of this one? What are your thoughts?
I had heard of this one. I had thought that I was probably going to check it out. I like Kate Winslet. I don't know how to feel. I haven't seen The Menu. I've heard mixed reviews. It's interesting that you liked it.
I love it.
What? You're making a face at me. Oh, you
mixed
loved
reviews.
It. Okay.
Because I don't know anyone that didn't like it.
Yeah, I heard some people being like, maybe it's the same kind of people who don't like White Lotus and Succession. In which case, like, then I maybe would like it. But
I think you would.
I mean... It sounds interesting. If it's well done, I'll probably like it. If it's not well done, I'll probably be disappointed, which is just generally how my TV watching goes these days.
That is how
I don't
it works.
Have like super strong feelings. I don't know. Sometimes things are not well done, but entertaining.
Yeah. I don't think this is that. But I watched the first episode last night.
And?
I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed.
Oh, damn.
Like,
bummer.
I watched the whole thing. Matt watched half of it and was like, I quit. What's going on? This is bad. I did watch the whole episode, but I do share his sentiments. I actually was like, well, I'm confused. Not that the concept was confusing. I'm confused how we got there. It just a very, very odd first episode. It doesn't really tell you a lot about like what will be happening. It doesn't really establish a tone, at least like not one that made any sense. It's really like it's really hard to describe. Yeah, only one episode. It was an hour long episode. It was, I thought, a comedy, and then I turned it on and it was an hour and I was like, okay, so like a White Lotus sort of comedy. Like it's a drama, but it's described as a dark comedy. I don't even think I smiled. I don't even think I in my brain went, haha, let alone out loud. I actually was sitting there like, what is this? What am I watching? And I don't know if it's primarily like Kate Winslet feels really miscast, which is odd. I like her, but if she's supposed to be like a Selena Meyer character, that is not coming through at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know what Regime made me think of? And even though I'd heard the premise and I knew who was behind it, it made me think of Rain. That like raunchy teen, like kind of, like that energy, the CW-ish energy. And then that other TV show that is not that same CW energy, but that is, I cannot think of the name of it. And I think it also sounds somewhat like Rain, or I'm secretly Googling it right now. So but it's a family. What's that?
I said so secret.
I know. It's a family that's like, it's very Succession-y, but it's much more, I don't know what I'm trying to describe. I'm not going to find it, and maybe I'll just insert it in here later. But if you know what I'm talking about, please let me know.
I don't think I do. But I just don't get humor from the show, and I also don't get like, oh, they've set up this interesting drama. I honestly, like, I want you to watch it just so you can understand like how confused I am. I don't understand what they're going for. I really don't want to watch more. I'm going to have to because I can't write it off after one episode, but I'm not happy about it. And I will say I looked up the reviews like to see after I watch something I usually do to be like, do people agree with me? I need to know.
Yeah.
The critic score on Rotten Tomatoes is like at a 50%. So like half of the critics gave it a positive score, which feels about right. Actually, if anything, I need to go read those reviews to be like, well, they've seen more of the show. But like, what are they picking up on? Because I was like, I don't know how to criticize this other than what's going on here? What am I supposed to get from this? But yeah, I can move on from that.
Wait, before you do, Dynasty.
Okay, I really was not going to get that.
But you know, it's like got all the same. It's like Regime, Dynasty, Rain. Sure. They're all like similar.
Too anyway. Similar. That's why I wasn't going to guess. I was like, I could probably name six shows and it's not going to be one of them. There are quite a few.
I don't think it's that energy either.
But I thought this was going to be a lot more like, I know I just said I'm going to move on, but I thought this was going to be a lot more like Veep. And I really wanted Veep. And it's not Veep. And maybe that's on me. I really wanted Veep and it's not that.
Yeah. Time to rewatch Veep, I guess.
It's always time to rewatch Veep. Okay, the next one on the list you will know, you will recognize. It is a returning show of which you liked the first season, and so did I, cautiously. This is Animal Control.
Yes, I did like the first season.
Yeah,
so, surprisingly so.
Yeah, I think by the end I liked it and was sort of surprised by that. I really expected it to be a dud. I don't have the premise written down. I figure people will know about it, but the quick little whatever. It's an ensemble comedy. It stars Joel McHale. It's set in a Seattle animal control precinct. It's basically Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but in an animal precinct, animal control precinct. And with like a similar cast of sort of like kooky whatever characters. I thought it was funny, funnier than I thought it was going to be. And by the end of the first season, did sort of find its groove. So I'm looking forward to the second season.
Yeah, I think they did a great job bringing the ensemble like together and developing each of them enough and different pairings of them, like different friendship combinations that I was like, okay, cool. I want to see more of these people. I want to see more combinations. Yeah, pleasantly surprised.
I think what was kind of a bummer for me is it was only, wasn't it only like 13 episodes?
Potentially.
Or it was definitely a shorter season. Shorter than a normal full-length network comedy. I really don't think it was 22 episodes. And I think like for me, that was part of the bummer because, I mean, an ensemble comedy always needs time and it didn't feel like it had enough time. It seemed by the end like it was finding its place. But and I mean, like The Office had a shortened first season. The Office first season is not good in my humble opinion. And I think Animal Control could end up being that. They've already renewed it for a third season. Second season hasn't even come out yet. I think it'll get a chance to like be a longer term comedy that I will end up really liking. And that's what gives me hope. Less so my like superb take on the first season and more just like, I think it's going somewhere. So that comes out March 6th on Fox, which is I think probably the day that this podcast comes out. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, Animal Control's out.
Now's your chance.
Well, Animal Control will be out tonight and tomorrow on Hulu. And there is another show coming to Hulu on the day of this podcast release. And that is another second season of a show that you liked, Jenny. Do you know what it is?
I do know what it is. Do you want me to say it?
Or sure, you can say it.
Extraordinary.
Exactly. Do you have this date like baked into your head? Like, are you like super stoked about this one?
Not because I'm super stoked about it, but because I know that it's right before our newsletter and I'm planning on trying to watch all, if not as much as I can, to review it for the next day. So I'm anticipating like a kind of an intense day.
That
is why it's baked into my head.
That's like,
but there are short episodes.
How many episodes does it? I don't know. 8 maybe. But yeah, I suppose it'll only be like 4 hours. Only 4. So you'll have to watch the whole thing and then write your whole review, and that'll be your Wednesday.
We'll see. Yeah.
Do you want to do the like, what's Extraordinary about?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Extraordinary is essentially like an alternate reality London, I think today's day and age, where the only thing that seems apparently different is that everyone, when they turn 18, I believe, gets some kind of superpower or power in general. It's not always the best. It's like some of them are kind of silly and lower key than like flying or turning invisible. And then there are a very small select group, including our main character, Jen, that just never developed a superpower. And so they are, instead of it being sort of like, there are the regular people and then there are super the heroes, it's like everyone is super. The people who are regular are kind of the odd men out. And then from there on, it's a comedy, which you might expect that to be a drama, but it is sort of just like her trying to figure out her life and go about normal stuff, except that a lot of the other side characters have superpowers, which makes it silly and interesting. And I did not have high hopes when I heard the premise originally, and I wound up really enjoying it.
It's a very silly show. I think you liked it more than I liked it, but I liked it a lot. I think some of the time it was like a little too silly for me. I needed to watch it in chunks. Like, I definitely won't be binging the whole season in one day.
Yeah. They did a good job in the first season. It is definitely silly and there are definitely silly parts, but they still do the thing that I think sitcoms need to do, which is they developed an emotional arc for the main character and the main character's friends that was compelling and like fun. And I was invested in watching more than just the like antics on the side. So,
you know what the thing about British comedies is that sometimes I like can't really get behind quite as much.
Tell me, Jess.
And I really like British comedies, but it's not that I can't get behind it. So there's this little something that like sort of rubs me the wrong way. And it's that they're so comfortable with things not being polished, like people being their real, like awkward, sometimes gross, whatever selves. And I'm not used to that in my TV. I'm used to everybody being perfect all the time. Their hair is perfect. They always have the perfect thing to say. And British TV is like, yeah, people are gross. Let's just lean into the awkward grossness.
It's different. I love it.
It's not always what I want. But I think Extraordinary like really does that. Like I remember being a little put off in certain parts. Like, oh, this is kind of cringy. And I'm not always there with the cringy might not be the right way to put it, but just sort of like uncomfortable realness of life, even with the superhero like sort of aspects. But that is the last show for this week. Nope, there's one more. On Thursday, The Gentlemen comes out on Netflix. It is not the movie. It is, however, basically the movie. So it is – it's Guy Ritchie. So Guy Ritchie did the, I think, 2019 movie of the same name. 2020 maybe. Have you seen it?
I have not. Does that surprise you?
Nope. Not even a little bit. Apparently – I learned this while I was doing this research. Guy Ritchie originally conceived The Gentlemen as a TV show. It got made into a movie instead, and now it's back as a TV show. So I guess he got everything he wanted and more. It's not a complete remake. It is what some people are calling a spinoff, but to me it just seems like they've used the same name and the same sort of general concept and just made a new story.
It sounds like an anthology. Like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, I know. I don't know that reference as well as you might.
Just in that, Joss Whedon wanted to make a TV show and it wound up being accepted as a movie instead. And so they made this movie that like wasn't, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was originally a movie that was like not great. And some people really liked it and some people didn't. And then later, like years later, they got to start making the TV show. And it was like vaguely the same concept, but they changed a lot of things that actually worked, that people liked more. And I'm wondering if this is a very similar situation where it's like, yeah, like same building blocks, but they're doing what they wanted to do or they're realizing what they needed to change.
Was it still similar. Sarah Michelle Gellar?
No.
I like don't know if I knew this. I mean, I feel like I must have at some point heard that this was a thing, that the movie existed. But yeah, that's not in the top of my brain knowledge.
I could be wrong in that it was... Oh, no. It was Joss Whedon, still a writer. I was going to say maybe it was a different writer than Joss Whedon, but it was 1992. So it was earlier than the TV show, and it was a different blonde cheerleader. The like Buffy character was much meaner. Like she was still a cheerleader, but she was like a meaner, mean girl version, Vampire Slayer, and the general characters and everything and the dynamics were a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is similar. I would be very surprised if the Gentleman TV show goes on to have the lifetime that Buffy did or the cultural staying power, even regardless of number of seasons. But it at least has a first season, and that comes out this week. What's the premise? I haven't told you yet. So, well, first of all, it stars Theo James. I think that that's a plus for most people.
He's very handsome.
He's handsome. I also was very, very... happily, I was not surprised. I guess surprise isn't the right way to put it. I thought he was really, really good in The White Lotus. And it's not that I thought he wouldn't be, but he was even better than I expected, and sort of blew me away in that, as did everyone who appears in The White Lotus. So I'm excited to check this out. I mean, it's not like entirely my type of show. It's a crime drama. It is... I still haven't told you, it's about
is that not entirely your type of show?
A crime drama? No, mystery thrillers.
Sorry.
Different. This is about the estranged son of an English aristocrat who finds himself embroiled in a world of criminality, specifically career criminal Bobby Glass's industrial cannabis empire on the East End of London. So like that sort of crime drama. Like it's, you know, like cartels and whatever else. And yeah, so Ritchie
little
is...
Peaky Blinders energy.
Guy Ritchie's at the helm again as the writer, director, creator, at least director of the first few episodes. Another thing that I'm really excited about is Kaia Scodelario is in this. And you know that she's my girlfriend. I love her so much. I wish.
I'm Still surprised you haven't watched that that like teen ice skating TV show that I told you about that she stars in.
I know. I need to watch that. That has been – that's like one of those where I'm like, I could, and then I always think of something else. But yeah. She's in a I think her most recent thing that I saw her in was Crawl, which you definitely didn't watch, a horror movie in which she's in, I don't know, somewhere that floods, and she's like in a house that floods, and then the alligators are like in the house with her in the floodwaters, and it's just like a – like a Jaws-esque sort of monster movie. It's so good. It's like so bad that it's good.
I hate that.
It's bad and it's good and I loved it. But yeah, great. So I am excited about the dual, the pair of Theo and Kaya. So I'm looking forward to this. I imagine you're probably not as interested.
It depends. I mean, if it's – from what you said, it a little bit gives me – I mean, obviously not time – well – yeah, not era-wise, but Peaky Blinders, kind of, like the cartels, the whatever, in London or in England. But I only liked the first season of Peaky Blinders. So, like, if it's like that, maybe I won't enjoy it as much. Also, don't – we got to cut out me saying I only liked the first season of Peaky Blinders. I feel like people are going to be mad at me.
I feel like that's not that unpopular, is it, of an opinion?
I don't know. Peaky Blinders is very popular.
Yeah, that's true.
We can move on.
Yes. So the next show is next week. This one is – I want to see if you can guess this based on some context clues. So Leanne Moriarty, you'll know, as the author of Big Little Lies. She also wrote some other books. One of them is this book that they're making into this Peacock miniseries. She has like three famous books. I was curious if you knew like what the other big ones were. And this is
I was about to be like Little Fires Everywhere, but I don't think that's her. I think that's just a similar type of book.
Celeste Ng, but yeah, this is sort of similar. Actually very similar.
No, I cannot think. I could pretend to think long and then
don't secret Google.
Quick little magic cut.
No, damn. Okay. we're not doing that. I was curious because this has been on my to-read list for like years. And I've never read it because I've heard that it's disappointing. So I'm not like super stoked that they made it into a show. One, because that means I'm gonna have to watch the show before I read the book, which means I probably won't ever read the book now, and I feel like that opportunity was taken from me. And two, because I've heard that the book's not great. So it's called Apples Never Fall. Does that ring a bell?
Okay, I've seen the cover.
Yeah,
it's not been on my
three apples sitting on the table.
Exactly.
Or the four apples, maybe. I don't know what the apples signify. Oh, like apples we'll never fall far it. From the tree.
But yeah.
I feel like that's probably what it is because it's a family drama, supposedly.
Yeah.
I can tell you more. Well, actually, I can't really tell you more other than that it's a family drama and the wife disappears. That's like the whole hook. So it's another like Big Little Lies. Yeah. They're all the same book. Except that this one is very specifically called a mystery drama and not a mystery thriller, which sort of makes me feel like it's just going to be like a little dull. I'm worried that it'll be a little too dragged out. Like a lot of these miniseries really should just be movies. So we'll see. But the cast is great. Annette Bening, Sam Neill, Allison Brie, and Jake Lacy are like the main
family. I love Allison Brie.
I love Allison Brie and I love Jake Lacy. And I love Sam Neill and I love Annette Bening.
They're all good. You're right.
They're all good. So good. So yeah, it's like the mom and dad are retired tennis coaches. The mom goes missing. Like a girl shows up at their door. And the trailer is like all of those things like cut together with a lot of like, we didn't even know mom. Who was she really? And like just really dramatic takes. So I don't know.
Great.
I'm intrigued. I will definitely watch it. I will literally always watch anything that's like a mystery, drama, thriller, whatever. So I'll watch that. The whole thing comes out on the same day too. So I'll probably just like tear through that day.
Yeah.
And then I'll let you know.
Great. Can't wait.
Next up, season 3 of a show that I don't think either of us watched, although I feel like we should. And
I have no guesses.
No guesses. Okay. So I'll say more. I like the guessing game. It was originally a Peacock show, one of Peacock's first shows, and it ran for 2 seasons. Peacock cut it. Netflix picked it up for its third season. It is executive produced by Tina Fey. She's not a writer, but she is a producer. And it stars Sarah Bareilles, other people whose names I forget right now.
Is this Girls Five Ever?
It is, yeah.
Okay, Eva.
Girls Five Eva.
Yeah, with Renee Gold.
Renee Goldsberry. And Sarah Bareilles.
That's the one.
And Busy Phillips.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah, I'm surprised neither of us has seen this.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. Like, I think when I first got Peacock, I was like a little, not late to the game. I was probably still one of the earlier people to have Peacock. But I think at that point, like season two was coming out and I had other stuff to watch. And I was like, oh, that's too much to catch up on right now. And now I still feel like that. I'm like, oh, now there's two whole seasons to catch up on. I think they're short though. So I've been thinking about giving this a try. It sounds like something I would like. So obviously, like, Tina Fey produced, it follows four women who were in a girl group that was popular in the like early 2000s. And I think they had like a one hit wonder. But something, I don't know exactly what like spurs their reunion, but they are all like older now and they're all like looking for fame again, I think. And so they reunite. And I think it's probably like just a sort of straight comedy. Obviously the premise like is funny, or it could be just like not as funny or cute as it thinks it is. So I don't know, but I am curious.
I mean, three seasons says something.
Yeah. And the fact that Netflix picked it up after Peacock dropped it is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with Tina Fey attached, I feel like doesn't Netflix like always like, I don't know if she has like a deal with Netflix or what, but I feel like they always make her stuff.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm not as familiar. I want to know more about the politics of, I feel like there have been a lot of things that have sort of been revived on Netflix lately. We talked about the Suits resurgence. Obviously it wasn't dropped by anything, but I just mean like things get a new life on Netflix. And I'm wondering if Peacock specifically like sold it to Netflix or, yeah, I don't know. For the purpose of it maybe getting big and then maybe they get it back. Who's to say?
But I think they didn't because they also
okay.
don't have Girls Five Eva on their service anymore. I think they like cut it for what I assume is like cutting costs. They cut the show and then Netflix was like, a free agent, free show. Like not literally, but so I think that was the case. But yeah, I definitely know what you're saying. In general, there are a lot of shows that are getting put on Netflix now and they get way more popular on Netflix. And I think that other shows are seeing that, like seeing the Suits effect. Like Sex and the City is about to be on Netflix, and HBO used to be a lot more precious about not giving their stuff to Netflix.
Totally.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Although they're also desperate for money, I'm pretty sure, given the vibes of HBO these days. So that's probably just very financially motivated. Okay, what's next? Same day, March 14th, The Girls on the Bus. I'm not going to have you guess because I'm pretty sure you've never heard of this.
No.
It is an upcoming political drama series created by Amy Chozick and Julie Pleck. Julie Pleck, you might recognize as the co-creator of The Vampire Diaries.
I did not recognize that. The name sounded vaguely familiar and it's not who I thought it was.
Yeah, I think that the show was supposed to originally be on the CW. I could be misremembering that, but it will be on Max. So something changed in the plan there. It is inspired by Amy Chozick's 2018 memoir, Chasing Hillary, which is about like her time on the campaign, Hillary Clinton's. So it follows four female journalists who are following a presidential campaign on the road, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think it's just sort of like a classic drama. Like it says they find friendship, love, and scandal along the way. So I like this. I kind of like this.
Okay.
I'm excited. I like a girl drama. A drama with girls.
A girl drama. Yeah. I always want political things to be, and that's not true. I didn't even say the thing that I'm going to say, and I take it back, and then I'm going to put it back forth because I do think I mean what I was going to say, which is I almost always want political dramas or political shows to be either West Wing or Veep.
Yeah.
And if they like don't fit into those things, I'm sort of like, nah.
It's not worth my time. I'll just rewatch one of those. Mm-mm. Yeah, I see what you mean. But I don't know. I think the fact that this is Julie Plec and that it was originally going to be on the CW actually gives me a lot of hope. Because I...
that it could be just kind of fun.
Like, I miss the CW dramas of the 2009, 2010s. Those were just...
yeah.
They were fun. They weren't serious. They were serious, but they weren't serious. And we don't get shows like that.
They took themselves...
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
it's like they simultaneously took themselves very seriously, but we're also like, don't take us too seriously.
Yeah, and that is energy that we do not get anymore. So I'm hoping that's what this is. Like, give me a soap opera that knows it's a soap opera and is also like sort of funny and has hot people in it. Like, we don't get those anymore. Give me Gossip Girl, but with
give us a
political
Girl.
Campaign.
And with a better end.
What could go wrong? Well, yeah, I only watched the first two seasons of Gossip Girl. Don't come at me. Not you, listeners.
Making a lot of enemies.
Listeners, don't come at me. This is the episode where we both alienate everyone who listens to us. All right, the next one is, I'm not going to have you guess this one either. A new Apple TV show. There's a couple Apple shows this month. This one is called Manhunt, and it is a 7-part limited series based on a book detailing the events of Abraham Lincoln's assassination and the search for his killer. Nice immediate thumbs down. What was the thumbs down for? The assassination or the search for his killer?
Before you said either of those things, it was like a chronicle of Abraham Lincoln and I put my thumb down and then you were like assassination. And I was like, oh no, I guess. Yeah. Like definitely don't kill people.
Yeah.
Thumbs down for assassinations.
It sounds so boring.
It sounds really boring. Anything that's like short, like 7 parts like that, I don't know.
Well, Apple TV, this is just, it's so Apple TV's thing to be like, this 7-part story that probably should have just been a 2-hour movie and is going to feel like a long movie and not be structured like a TV show at all. And you will be bored after 2 episodes, but we're only going to give you 2 episodes. And then you'll have to wait for 1 episode for the next 5 weeks.
If it's at all, so like this feels hypocritical because I do enjoy a thing like John Adams, which to many people is super boring. Sometimes to me is super boring. And it feels similar in that like could be slow. It's a bunch of different parts, but I feel like HBO, like they were really concerned with making it really well with the like cinematography of everything. And I don't remember how it was originally released, but I don't think it was meant to be sort of like a bingeable TV show or a like, oh, let's wait for the next installment. I don't know. If it's really well done, maybe at some point I'll come back to this Abraham Lincoln one, but it doesn't sound super enticing, I will say.
I agree. It just sounds like classic Apple TV nonsense. Like, I saw it.
Is it based on a book?
Yeah, it says it's based on a book, like a history book, I guess, you know?
Right, which like so was John Adams. Like they're all based on biographies or I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
My friend sent me a TikTok of a podcast. I can't remember who's – I think it was like Nicole Dyer's podcast. And it's Nicole Dyer and Jason Mantzoukas, I think, and like maybe one other person talking about
– Mantzoukas?
Mantzoukas. I did my best.
Yeah.
talking about Apple TV. And it's actually a really funny clip. They're like, do you feel like Apple TV is just like a hobby? Like somebody just was like, hey, what if we made TV shows? Like wouldn't that be crazy? And Jason is like, yeah, there's a show on there where like Momoa is blind and so is everybody else. And the other people are like, what? That can't be real. And they're just talking about how like, there's all these shows with all this budget on Apple that nobody watches and that are just crazy. Like if you told people the premise of some of these shows, they'd be like, what do you mean? And I feel like that's true. Yeah.
I feel like we've said that before. It seems like Apple has some really good content and other things that you're just like, whoa, where they get that from? And also it's so like you can tell the production has a lot of money behind it, but that it's just like not good. It does seem sort of like a hobby and someone's just like, let's try this. Let's throw this against a wall. And sometimes they turn out really well.
Which is, it's kind of nice because that is what I wish in some ways all TV was. Like if it wasn't like so attached to the bottom line, like most, you know, like clearly Netflix, that's their deal. We get a lot of, I think that's why we get a lot of really great shows on Apple and then also some clunkers. Cause like you can't necessarily predict it. And when you try too hard to predict, oh, this is going to like nail this demographic and this one, like you get shows that are not very good and are just trying so hard to be like profitable or widely appealing. Whereas Apple, we got Severance and Bad Sisters, but we also got The New Look. And what the heck was that show we both hated last year with the woman? She's a detective. The heck's the name of it? What? She was like a private detective. We both watched like four episodes, and then quit.
Not the Peacock.
Not
one.
Even memorable enough to. I can't think of the name of it. Private.
Oh yes, the one with Patricia Arquette.
Yes, but what's it called?
Something with sun or desert.
Desert
high.
High desert. There we go.
High desert. There we go. I was so close. Damn it.
Weirdly close to not get it. Anyway, that was supposed to be more pithy than it was, but we're going to move on. Oh, we're going to move right on to another Apple TV show. I don't know why it seems so weird to me that they release their shows one after another like this. 5 days later, they're releasing a comedy. Okay, I'll say right off the bat, I am actually really excited for this one. A comedy starring Kristen Wiig that also has Laura Dern, Allison Janney, Leslie Bibb, Josh Lucas, Carol Burnett in it. And
I love all the sound of that.
I know, right? I mean, but we've seen how it could go wrong. But they don't really do comedies. Apple TV has like one comedy, Loot.
Whoa.
What else do they have?
I mean, Bad Sisters is a comedy.
Well, it's a dark comedy. But I'm saying like pure, traditionally formatted comedy. What do they have besides Loot?
Mythic Quest is a banger.
So they do one every like 2 years, literally. Like Mythic Quest came out, 2 years later Luke came out. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, I guess you could say Ted Lasso, but I would argue that's not a sitcom sort of comedy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess, if this is going to be more like drama comedy or if it'll be more like Loot and Mythic Quest. I can't tell just by the premise, but I mean the premise is just it's a comedy. It's set in 1969. A woman, Kristen Wiig, strives to gain entrance into Palm Beach High Society. Did I say the name of it? I'm not even sure if I said the name of it. It's called Palm Royale. Palm Royale, I guess, based on the fact that it's set in Palm Beach. So yeah, I'm stoked about this one. I'm already annoyed about how they're going to release it. I don't think you should release a comedy week by week, but I could do a whole podcast on Apple TV's release strategy being a bummer, but I won't. I won't do that.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I hear you about comedies not being released week by week, but at the same time, I mean, like Abbott Elementary week by week, if it's good enough to keep you coming back, it's a decent release strategy. But I don't know that app, like without having any predetermined, like you've got an audience, I don't know why Apple would do this.
Yeah. I mean, and that's hard for me to say because I think didn't I watch Abbott when a season was already out? Like I think I was able to sit down and watch the whole first season. And so then when season two came out and it was week by week, I was okay with that. But I generally don't like to. And I mean, even Animal Control, like the first few episodes came out and we both were like, not really sure about this. Mm-hmm. Obviously stuck with it because like that's what we do here. But I don't know that I would have had it not been, the need to. And something about Apple TV's, the way they do it just really rubs me the wrong way. I'm sure that's just me hating it.
No, I feel like we've talked about it before. It does feel like they change up what their release get like. Two at a time, three at a time, like weekly, whatever. And it sort of feels arbitrary and always the wrong decision. Like it's always just like one off from being a good release schedule.
Well, they always do it weekly, but they decide how many – the way they sometimes have two episodes come out, three episodes come out does feel a little arbitrary. I'm imagining they're watching it and thinking, okay, this will be a good spot to like cut, but like people will still be interested. I am rarely still interested. But I just think they need to release the whole season for most of these shows because they don't have a built-in audience. They do zero marketing. I only know what's going on in these shows because we sit here and do this. But why is anyone turning on a random-ass Apple TV show if they know nothing about it? And why would they come back week by week if they don't.
Yeah.
I said I wasn't going to continue, and then I did.
We can continue this conversation in a separate pod.
Okay. Next up. Ooh, I think you could guess this one. So this comes from the Game of Thrones creators. It's based on a book.
Oh.
It is based on a popular book, from what I gather, although I haven't read it. It might be a series. It's a sci-fi show, sci-fi book slash show. It's a English adaptation. I think that's all the clues I can give you. Okay, you know?
I've got it. It's either the three-body problem or the five-body problem, and I think it's the three-body problem.
It's the three-body problem. And
there we go.
Every time I read a premise or watch the trailer even, like, I still don't know how to describe this show. I don't know what's going on in this show. The premise is literally, like, crazy stuff happens and they have to save the world. Like, that's all the premise says. That's not literally what it says, but it's – okay, this here says, the show traces events following mankind's first communications with extraterrestrial intelligence. But it's like, well, what are the events? Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And that even is more descriptive than some of the other – like, I literally read one that was like, scientists make a discovery, and then the show spans space and time. Like, that's what the – and that's what the trailer gives, too. Like, there's no information. I don't know. It's a sci-fi epic. I feel like it could be, like, just a really big disappointment, or it could – We could have another Shogun on our hands. Actually a solid epic that is fun to watch. I don't know.
Do you think they're seeing this as a chance to, like, reclaim some of the brownie points that they lost in the last few seasons of Game of Thrones? Like, do you think they're trying to prove that they can run a good show again? Or do you think they not care about, like...
I mean, you would think they would have to have some sort of chip on their shoulder. Or, like, feel the need to prove themselves. Everybody's reaction that I've seen, at least even just, like, in comments on TikTok, is like, oh, from the Game of Thrones creators, like, that doesn't make me want to watch it. I'm like, we get it. You all hate – everyone hated. We all hated
episodes.
It. But they made a really good show for a while, and that's hard to do.
Yeah. I'm curious. I will watch this, at least the first few episodes. I like some sci-fi stuff. I like a lot of sci-fi stuff.
I feel
sometimes
like
it gets a little too...
You would like this.
Yeah.
Also, it's Netflix, so you'll be able to watch as many episodes as your little heart desires on March 21st.
My tiny little Grinch.
I don't know how many episodes it is. I didn't write that down, but I assume probably like six. The cast is a cast. Also, I forgot to mention Rosalind Chow, Benedict Wong, John Bradley, and Isaac Gonzalez. And I love Isaac Gonzalez, another girlfriend of mine. I wish. She is very pretty. And Benedict Wong is good. So, yeah, I think this has a lot of potential. There's something weird to me. I didn't say this yet, but there's something odd to me about a show like this being on Netflix. My knee jerk is, well, it can't be that good because it's on Netflix. Like, if it were that good, it'd be on HBO. Which,
as in produced by Netflix, because there are a lot of great things on Netflix, but like we've been saying, have been taken from
other I'm talking about originals.
Production companies.
Yeah. I just don't know if – I don't know. I feel like at some point that will change. Like, if it was that good, it'll be on HBO. As the HBO quality seems to be declining, or like whatever the heck they're doing over there at HBO. And while Netflix like maybe is reevaluating their content strategy. So this could be a turning point. Or I'm giving it way too much credit. And we will know in 18 days. Do you have any?
It is 8 episodes, by the way. Just you said.
Thank you, our Google assistant.
Thank you.
Shall we move on? There's a few left and I'm probably talking too much. So we can go quick through this next one. I don't know very much about it. It's called Davy and Jonesy's Locker. It'll be on Hulu. It is a comedy. It's... the girl from that movie we both watched, Xmas, the one who like also does TikTok skits. The Veronica. Veronica Slowska or something like that. And I don't know the other girl. And it's very much giving like random low budget comedy that could end up being really good. Like Hulu does this where they just drop a random comedy that you're like, I've never heard of this. I don't really know these people. this couldn't have been expensive to make. And yet, like, it's a banger. And I'm talking about Such Brave Girls. I'm talking about Extraordinary, actually, also. And what was the third I was going to include? Oh, Class of 07 was on Prime. But anyway, so I'm kind of hoping this is one of those. The premise is that there's Davy and Jonesy. They feel out of step with their peers at their high school, but they discover that their locker is a portal to the multiverse, and they set off on new adventures. What is the cartoon that this is reminding me of? Is it Danny Phantom?
Oh, the cartoon?
There's I read the premise for this, and I was like, something is being activated in my subconscious.
It could be Danny Phantom, but that was very much like Ghost World. But I'm thinking this sounds like Time Bandits / what's that one? I mean Doctor Who a little bit. Like, I don't know. Oh, Bill and Ted's whatever adventure.
That's probably the closest match based on the premise. But yeah.
Is it supposed to be like Davy and Jonesy and Locker? Like Davy Jones's Locker is a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, is it sea-based? I'm underwater?
Confused by the name. It kind of put me off at first. But then when I looked at the rest of it, I was like, this could be good. This might be good. It has potential.
I also do really like... Yeah, I think this is originally a Canadian make. Veronica is a Canadian actress. And I generally like Canadian things that wind up coming here quite a bit. Even if they're like lower budget, I feel like I can make that sweeping statement. It's in the same realm of like, I like Canadian comedies, I like Australian comedies, I like British comedies. So far.
Yeah, you like anything that's not made here. Just as a rule.
I also like things made here.
No. I didn't say you don't like things not made here, but when something isn't made here, you're like, Canada, love it. Ooh, Ireland.
I mean, Schitt's Creek?
That. No, you're not wrong.
Schitt's Creek.
Although
come
I can't
on.
Name, okay. I don't think I can name anything else besides Schitt's Creek off the top of my head that was like a Canadian import.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are
second,
others.
There are a ton of them.
Oh, you know what? Life with Derek. Yeah. I think that was Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
It was Canadian.
Actually embarrassed that was the second one I could name. So let's...
I mean, wasn't Degrassi also?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, wasn't that a thing that like the teen shows back then? A lot of them were Canadian.
Canadian. Yeah. All right. Sorry. We're meaning to rattle through these and
quick.
I got caught
okay.
up.
Okay. Next one, March 28th on Hulu, We Were the Lucky Ones is a television adaptation of Georgia Hunter's novel, We Were the Lucky Ones. Based on a true story, the show follows a Jewish family separated at the start of World War II on their quest to survive and reunite. This stars...
You sound super enthused.
I just feel like I couldn't care less. This stars Joey King and Logan Lerman. And I hate to be a hater, but I don't really like Joey King.
And what have you seen Joey King in?
Do you not agree?
I haven't seen her in that much. I've seen her in The Kissing Booth, which I feel like is probably not a good indicator of like actor chops.
And yet I had she was in it and it's part of her. I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I just don't really.
I just don't know that I've seen her in anything else.
I don't enjoy
else.
Watching her and stuff. She was in Bullet Train, Brad Pitt, like action movie that came out like 2 years ago. I liked Bullet Train. I don't know. I can't explain it. I've talked to other people who know what I'm saying, though. There's just like a vibe that we just don't like. The Joey King haters, but I don't think she's a bad actress, and I feel a bit mean, so I
was like, yeah, cannot count myself as a part of this club.
I don't like that. Well, you know what? And the other thing is, anytime I post something that she's in, like on a TikTok or whatever, there's always the people that are like, I don't like Joey King. So I know that it's a thing. I feel bad that it's a thing, but it is a thing, and I will just acknowledge it, and we can move on. I do like Logan Lerman, so I'm excited about that. I'm not excited to watch this, though. I'm going to, but I'm not happy about it.
There are so many World War II.
So many.
Like, I know that it's a time period that captures a lot of people's interest and imagination. There are so many books. There are already so many movies, TV shows. It just seems like maybe we could take a break between the ones that are adapted into more TV shows and movies. Like, just give us a tiny breather. Go, little guy.
It's just not... plausible that they would all be worthwhile, and there's too many,
and that they would all be having something new to say. Like, I feel like one of the things that is worthwhile in like retelling certain stories is you can either see yourself in more characters, or like you can empathize with a different group, or you can like, I don't know. It sort of seems like, unless you're finding some fresh spin on it, I do think like these stories are interesting and worth telling, and always pretty sad and sometimes pretty uplifting and hopeful. But again, like time, if you're going to make a similar story to one, all like thousands that already exist, I would just say like, wait a little bit, and then be like, people probably want this again. I don't think a ton of people already want this again, but maybe there are people who haven't seen, like, I can't remember which one you watched, but you watched a World War II thing. All the light you cannot see. The one that I watched, that I cried with Belle Powley.
Small Light.
Thank you. Those seem just like so recent.
Why do they all have the same name too?
They all have the same name.
Okay, I'm going to move to the next one, and I'm just going to say the premise and we're going to move on because there's nothing else to say, but I don't want to skip it arbitrarily. Great. It's called The Baxters. Okay. It is based on a book series. The series follows Elizabeth and John Baxter and their 5 adult children. The 10-episode first season revolves around their daughter, who discovers her professor husband is having an affair with one of his students. Carrie must find comfort in her family and faith to discover if love is a choice or if her marriage can be redeemed. It's giving quality of My Life with the Walter Boys and also somehow worse. I'm sure there's someone out there that likes the books, so I included it. And may I move on?
Oh, please okay. do.
So on March 29th on Disney Plus, we are getting a show that sounds oddly similar to the premise of The Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin, except this one is not a comedy, but it is about a female highwayman. I guess they don't have the word highwaywoman. In the 18th century in England, she becomes the most feared. Okay, but now it says highwaywoman. Okay, becomes the most feared highwaywoman in the country. When a magical spirit appears, she realizes her destiny is bigger than she ever imagined. I don't know what's going on with this. You might like to know that it stars Orla.
Hey.
Whose real name is, I don't have that written down.
Not Orla.
Actually. So that's a bummer. But Orla on Derry Girls, for anyone who was like, who is Laura? Laura. Orla.
I do wonder if she is going to be like as wacky a character.
I know. I feel like she has to be. Otherwise, why cast her?
Maybe she's just like a really brilliant actress.
She could just be a really good dramatic actress. Yeah. She is like the funniest character in Derry Girls.
Yes.
Absolutely love her.
1,000%.
So I'll watch it for her. But I don't really know what's going on with that. And again, going quickly, the next one is based on a book that I read. And I don't know if you read. It's called A Gentleman in Moscow.
Nope.
By Amor Towles is the book. It's a book that it was a quarantine read for me. It's about a man who is sentenced to house arrest by a Bolshevik tribunal. He spends decades banished to an attic hotel room after the Russian Revolution. So when I read it, it was like fitting. I was like, oh, he's in a hotel. I am also in a home. Neither of us can leave.
Was it good?
I liked the book actually a lot. I'm kind of curious how they're going to turn into a TV show, because I think it was sort of like more vibes than plot, and it was very long, and I liked it at the time. I don't even know if I've ever really recommended it to anyone, though. It's not like it was my favorite, and I just don't know if it's going to be sort of boring as a TV show. Mm. It's going to be on Paramount Plus with Showtime. It stars Ewan McGregor and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's something. There's one more. The last one. March 31st.
All right.
It's called Parish, and it stars Giancarlo Esposito. It is an adaptation of a British BBC series. And in the place that I thought the premise would be written, it is just a gentleman in Moscow again. So based on my memory, it's an adaptation of a British show. Giancarlo Esposito plays a taxi driver who gets into like a criminal situation accidentally, and then is like on the run or something. It's a crime drama. It's based on a British crime drama, and it's on AMC. I don't really know what to expect from that one, but I'm sure people will watch it because he has a lot of fans, and that's all.
It feels like March has a good mix of like exciting possibilities, some like potential dark horses, and a couple that I just don't really care to watch. But yeah, good mix.
I feel like I don't really get super excited about shows anymore, which is kind of sad. But I don't know if – did I used to?
No.
I think maybe I used to.
You need to go on sabbatical.
Well, it's just that like you get excited about a show. It turns out to be a disappointment. Or you – there's a show you didn't even know was going to be good and then it ends up being great, which is fun, but there's no way to predict it. I'm unable to predict it.
I feel like we need a Tumblr or a Tumblr adjacent thing, because that is where just like scrolling through, I guess that's TikTok, but like I scrolling through gif sets and photo sets of sort of abstract, like two characters having chemistry or like a couple of lines that were specifically good, made me pick up a bunch of shows without really knowing the premise, but just because of like vibes that I loved discovering. And like, that was really exciting. And then I would like tell you or like, yeah, I don't know.
There are like,
I feel like that was a fun way.
Entire shows I felt like I watched before I ever saw a single episode. And it's not even that they were spoilers. Like, you're right. That was a perfect vehicle for just getting excited and seeing the like fun aspects or like beautiful people. In some cases, it was just like people that were great to look at. Like, what was the one? The 100 was that one that I like. Oh, I felt like I watched that whole show just from Tumblr.
Yeah, I think TikTok is the closest thing currently to that, but it is not at all the same. Like, I get angry when I see clips of TV shows or movies. There's no context to them. This is my biggest pet peeve about TikTok. And I think a lot of people find it nice because they discover like movies or TV shows based on a clip. But those, do you know what I'm talking about? It'll just be like a random out of context scene from something. And there's no other, it's just like someone just took the clip and they were like, here's a clip from this movie. And then it's all the comments are people being like, what movie is this? What TV show is this? And there's like, no.
Yeah, I like scroll right past those. So I don't even get those.
Yes. But I just mean like in Tumblr, it was like, oh, someone really liked this and they like beautifully made a mosaic of like their favorite scene with like their favorite quote about it or whatever. And that was something. And on TikTok, it's just sort of like, maybe you like this clip. And I just don't, it's not the same. And I wish there were something like maybe people could start making photo sets on TikTok. I don't know.
Don't you wonder how people did those also? Like, how did they get the video, like the screen captures? They were not grainy. They were like beautiful quality. How were they doing that?
I mean, I think like there's a lot of torrenting involved. I think it was like a lot of screen recording, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I would love to see that again as well. I think that I miss that. I wish there were a place for that. But yeah, that brings us to the end of our preview. And we hope that you, the listeners, took away at least one show that you're excited about. And if not, at least you learned something. So join us next week for what's probably going to be a catch up if we don't think of another more themed topic. And don't forget to check us out on our newsletter for weekly reviews and updates on what's coming out. You can find us at dbltake.substack.com, doubletake.substack.com. And yeah, subscribe there and leave us a review if you liked listening to this, or even if you didn't, just lie and say you did.
Please.
Thanks, and see you next time.
Find links to follow us on socials and subscribe to our newsletter in the show notes of this episode. Thank you for listening to Double Take. If you like what you heard, please support us by subscribing and leaving a review. See you next time. The Double Take podcast is produced by Jess Ball and me, Jennifer Cullen.